All right, let's open the Word of God, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's open the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Going to spend the first few minutes of tonight to cover something that I think I hurried past and did not do justice. So let's spend a few moments in silent prayer, preparing ourselves for the study of the Word of God. A few moments in prayer gives you an opportunity in regard to your relationship with the Holy Spirit, relying on the Holy Spirit, setting aside all of the encumbrances of the soul, the cares that come along our way, and so that we can concentrate on the study of the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are once again for the wonderful privilege that we have to assemble ourselves this evening with other believers who are like-minded. Father, we dedicate these next few moments to the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, that we may accurately understand the passages that are before us, that we might apply them, Heavenly Father, effectively in our lives, that we might fulfill the purpose for which we are here. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. I want to spend a few moments this evening on some things that I have hurried through on our study of boasting and did not really put it into a perspective that it should have meaning for you. Sometimes when we study things in a doctrine, you take good notes and close them and leave and go on about your life and not really cognizant of what has been expressed in God's Word. So I want to go back tonight and note a very important point of doctrine in 1 Corinthians chapter, or 2 Corinthians, not 1st. If I told you 1st, I 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not sure that we got the impact and the full significance of what Paul is saying in this passage. Now, this is a very personal, we're not going to develop it in great detail, but I want you to understand the context. This is a very personal section of Scripture. As a matter of fact, we're going to be studying 2 Corinthians, hopefully in just 1 hour, the entire book, in the 6 o'clock class. This book is an amazing book. There is very little what you and I would call hardcore dogma. This is not a theological treatise. Yet there are a tremendous number of doctrines that are put into this book. In fact, of all of the books, all of the epistles written by Paul, this is the most personal and the least theological. Now, when I say theological, what I'm talking about is where it develops a theological doctrine, like we have in so many other of Paul's writings. This book is saturated with personal truths. Now, in the 6 o'clock class, I will deal with why the Holy Spirit has made it part of the divinely inspired Word of God. Why God the Holy Spirit took such personal things in Paul's life for the entire book. And I mean almost the entire book is related to Paul. but it is so important in regard to pastor teachers throughout all of the church age. It is extremely important, above all, that pastors understand this book and that lots, congregations, understand this book in their dealings with the pastor. It is an extremely personal book. This chapter is an extremely personal chapter, and under the guiding ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul is directed to give us some information, and it is part of the eternal Word of God, which means there are doctrinal truths here that we need to be aware of and in our relationship with God. This is very personal experience of Paul. This is a personal experience from which Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, is going to develop some very important truths. And it is not theological, but extremely important in your relationship with God. And God takes Paul through, as he will every pastor, takes Paul through some very difficult times in order to teach him a very important principle in the behavior of God. Therefore, Paul is able to communicate to all throughout the church age some very important principles and points of doctrine in the behavior of God. We are now studying God through a lot of our studies. I will come back and put it together in a series. But we're noting that it is so important that the believer understand, one, that God is, but secondly, how God behaves. How can we expect God to behave? This is one of the important passages for Paul in this study. Now, Paul is under severe suffering. And so often we take the thorn in the flesh and make light of it. There are a lot of jokes related to the thorn in the flesh. There are a lot of superficial analogies made of the thorn in the flesh. But I want you to understand that this man hurts. This man suffers. And he suffers so much that it is going to become part of the inspired Word of God. Now let's read and then let's note some things. And because of the surpassing great, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan. Do you see that? Satan. This is something that is being hit with Paul all the time. It is related directly to the angelic conflict, directly to demonic work. He knows this. And I have tried so often to get you who have, though many of you have excellent notes on the being of Lucifer, the strategies of Satan, doctrine of demons, so many things. And yet when something happens in your life, for some reason, we're the first to go to human solutions, not even considering that it is the angelic conflict, that it is Satan. And we need to be aware of it. But this is of Satan, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated, and we'll deal with that in a moment, the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. Now, God answered his prayer, verse 9. This is what we studied a couple of Sundays ago in the doctrine of boasting. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And then Paul draws a conclusion of that. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Now, we are going, all of us, are going to fail. We're going to have attacks in the angelic realm, in the human realm, and they're going to bring about hurt. Now, in the hurt, that is a reality that so many believers face, and it's going to increase, I'm afraid. If it isn't bad enough in our society, it is going to increase all the more in our society. But in the hurting, you'll be going to become aware of your weakness. Now, when I say fail tonight, I'm not talking about sin. I'm going to omit sin for a few moments from our discussion, though that is included. But I don't want to discuss sin. This isn't a sin by Paul, the thorn in the flesh. He hasn't sinned yet. It is related to something that he might do, but it isn't there for that reason. This isn't a failure sin. So I want to leave sin out of our discussion for a moment, and I want you to, we're going to focus just for a moment in the area of weaknesses, boasting, being aware of what your weaknesses tell us. Now, there are all types of weaknesses that we are going to experience for Paul. This one, he has others that are in this book, by the way, in the 1st, 2nd Corinthians. In this one, it is a physical hurt. It is a physical pining all the time, and it hurts. And it interferes with his thinking. It interferes with his ministry, his service for the Lord. He feels would be much better if he just did not have to hurt. But hurt Paul did. He did hurt. And the hurting shouted something very important to Paul that I want you aware of. And that is our weaknesses. Now let's start with a physical hurt so I can go from that to the soul. When our bodies hurt, dying of cancer, or some illness that isn't going to go away, or even an illness or an injury that is part-time for a few days, for a season, we become keenly aware of just how weak we are, how weak this body is. We're going along thinking everything is fine and probably not even thinking about it very much at all. And then all of a sudden, we're down. We become aware at that point of how weak our body is. We become aware of how easy it is to completely stop the body. You can place a bullet and a number of other objects. You can place a bullet strategically and end this body's existence. You can have the right type of automobile accident and end this physical body's existence. We're not aware of it. We don't think about it too much until it hurts. Now, Paul is hurting physically, but he is aware now of weakness. And throughout all of our lives, there are a number of things that we could talk about that bring about and demonstrate our weaknesses. Let's go through some. For an example, the hurt, the pain associated with the death of someone we love, where we, at that point, realize how weak we really are. We cannot keep them alive. We cannot bring them back. We can't do anything about it. There's two parts I want you to understand about this weakness. Two very important parts. As members of this church, I want you to understand boasting and weakness. The first part of the weakness, we are aware of our weakness. Now, the first part of this weakness, I want you to understand it. We become aware of the fact that we cannot stop these things from occurring. That's how weak we are. I'm just going to word it this way. We cannot stop them from occurring. We cannot stop somebody from dying. We cannot do that. We cannot bring them back. We can't bring them back. And it's so important for us to understand this aspect of the weakness. Divorce, prominent in our society. I'm talking about a divorce where you're not the one who wanted it. It doesn't hurt the one who wants it. They say they're sorry and they hurt, big deal. The one who doesn't want the divorce. You can't stop it. And God, if we could only stop it. But we realize our weakness. I cannot stop it. Then there's a second part to all of this weakness, and that is our inability to handle it. That's the best way I'm going to word it for right now. Our inability to handle this weakness, where we cry, hurt, suffer. So we have two things. When these things occur, we cannot stop them from occurring. That's weakness. And then the way of our handling it becomes weakness. I'll come to those people who have no problem in the second one in just a moment. Those are the real losers as far as this study is concerned. But those are the two facets of weakness. Another area, loneliness, loss of job, loss of security, loss of status in society, loss of prestige, money, happening more and more, occurring more and more in our society. Loss of health, beauty, strength, even sickness to the point of death. Now, one thing that all, and I could go on. I'm not going to. I think you get the point, whatever yours may be. There are those things that occur in our life that reveal to us our real weakness. And they reveal it because we can't stop those things from occurring. That's why I want to omit sin for a few moments. We can deal with sin because the same principle is going to be true where we are aware of our weakness in those sin nature. But at least in the sin pattern, I had a decision. I chose to sin. But there are things that occur to us in the angelic conflict. They come from Satan. They come from the world. Okay? They come from even from God in certain cases under the principle of testing. There are things that come upon us. And these things cause believers to hurt and to be aware that there's nothing they can do to stop them. Nothing that they can do to prevent them to happen. So we realize how weak we are. And sometimes it is not just a matter of losing or failing, but often Christians are ashamed. Now watch. Christians are ashamed at the way they do handle it. I'll come to that. Christians often sometimes are ashamed. Some of these things that I've mentioned occur, and we don't handle it too well. We fall apart. Fear sets in. A lot of things start occurring. And then all of a sudden we become angry at ourselves. And a lot of times believers will often pull this little thing. If I just had more doctrine, if I just had more faith, I could get through this. If I just understood some more things, if this or that, I could handle this. And so we start coming down on ourselves in a very, very horrible way. So we have to face the facts of our weakness, and we have to face them in the two realms. One, we cannot stop these things from occurring. Paul cannot stop Satan. Paul cannot stop Satan's agent here. Paul can't even see him. He is far more powerful, mightier than Paul. Paul can't do anything about it. And he knows that. There are things that occur in your life and in people's lives and related to the world, in relationship to job, in relationship to our security, our prestige, our power, our authority. There are things that occur in the world that have to do that just time takes care of. Relationships never work out. Divorce, never marry, marry and divorce. All of these things start coming in. And we just think, I ought to be able to handle this. I ought to be able to get through this. This isn't that big of a deal. Other people go through it, and I'm not getting through this thing. And so we really come down on ourselves, especially in the second area, in the area of not being able to handle it, the inability to handle it, and we come down on ourselves. People, what I want you to understand is that both of these reveal to you something very important, and that is it reveals to us our weakness. And when the hurt is there, and you don't think there ought to be hurt, there's crying there, and you don't think you ought to be crying. I want you to understand that this is exactly what Paul is saying, is that sometimes what God has to do with some people, because you are so arrogant, because you are so tough, because you do have mental discipline to overcome these obstacles, I will not let this get me down. And you're no different than an unbeliever, a person that has never accepted Christ as their Savior. You're no different at all, and they know it. I'm going to get by through this. And that type of person is not aware of their weakness. They're not aware of what Paul is here talking about. And sometimes if God is going to deal with your arrogance, He may just keep bringing in these things and keep working on you until He just chops you off at the knees and you have no alternative but to realize how weak you really are. Your arrogance is pretty strong. Therefore, it's going to take something stronger than your arrogance, stronger than your self-will. I'm going to get through this, see? I'm going to handle this. I'm going to do it. I'll handle my own doctrine. I'll handle all of these things. These things are not going to bother me. I'm tough. And you're never going to learn what Paul is teaching, what I want to go over tonight. So sometimes God has to really work to knock this out among born-again believers. But in weakness, in that hurt, so many things happen. Now, some of these we do have to confess. But there are a lot of things that happen in our weakness. There is a resentment. Let's go through some of the things. First of all, in the pain and the hurt, a bitterness develops. Become bitter toward people, toward self, toward circumstances, and in often cases, toward God Himself, though a lot of times believers with doctrine wouldn't admit it. Anger, hate, resentment. There is an uncertainty related to a lot of weakness. One of the things about weakness is that the great amount of uncertainty when you come to the realization of how weak you really are. And that uncertainty then leads to a horrible thing called fear. You start realizing just how weak you really are, and that's going to lead to an uncertainty, and that has the possibility, people, of leading to a fear. A horrible fear, where you start impugning the essence of God. Then there is self-pity. Then you start acting unbecomingly. Put it on the board. You start acting unbecoming. What does that mean? We'll be studying this shortly in our study in 1 Corinthians 13. But right now, let's just say you start acting in a manner that is not appropriate and toward others, toward self. All kinds of bad decisions from this, all the way to the point of suicide and discouragement. And a lot of believers have a lot of problem in this area when they go to God. And the way they deal with this before God is just totally fascinating to me. You've got to be able, people, to communicate with God in prayer. Don't hide. Don't hide what's in your soul when you go to God in prayer. And a lot of believers do this, and believers do it with a lot of doctrine in their soul. And you hide it because you're ashamed of it, because you have some guilt in your soul. Don't ever do that. Do not be ashamed to express to God what's ever in your soul. And you may be expressing some anger toward God. We have studied how some of the prophets in the Old Testament cried out to God, how long are you going to allow this to continue? And why is it going on? And they cried out in very strong terms. Those aren't, when you read the scriptures, and the prophet said, how long, O God, is this going to occur? Wrong. The prophet is extremely emotional. How long must we suffer? And why must we suffer? And they cry it out to God. And a lot of believers are just afraid to do that to God, to do that with God. You have to be able, people, to express to God exactly what's in your soul. This is my fear. This is what is going on inside of me. Don't be afraid to lay it out. Don't be afraid to express it, because if you deny it rather than deal with it in your prayer with God, people, you're not going to know and understand your own weakness here. You're going to continue to fake it with God. Don't fake it with God. You have to be able to express these things to God. This is a very personal chapter, very personal letter, but a very personal passage with Paul. And therefore, it becomes very personal in all of our lives. To be able to express to God what's going on in your soul and the fear, the anger, the bitterness that is associated with it. Get it all out before God. Get it all out in your communication with God. Because, people, one of the most wonderful things about this weakness, now you're coming to an awareness of it. Let's go back now. You now have become aware of your weakness. You have now become aware that you do have this weakness. Now, what if this is Paul's whole point? Now, let's take a look at it. You have to be aware of the weakness, not deny them, and why. All right, here it is. Get the principle down. Our weakness is not the issue. People, we are weak. We cannot prevent things from occurring. That's how weak we are. You have to be able to acknowledge the fact that you are weak. This is the issue that Paul is dealing with, not that I'm weak. That isn't an issue. That's a fact that arrogance will not admit to. But our weakness is not the issue. We cannot prevent things from happening. And what we see as failures, and I want to call it what we see as failures. And what I'm talking about here, a lot of born-again believers have become very discouraged of the way they handle the things that happen in life. I shouldn't entreat God. I shouldn't have to pray about this. I ought to be able to handle it. I shouldn't hurt. I shouldn't cry. I shouldn't be in pain. I ought to have the doctrine to stand here and take it like a man. And we become very tough on ourselves. That's Paul's point, people. The weakness is a reality. But that isn't the issue that Paul is making. We see the way that we handle these things as failures, and they're not failures, people. Listen, now concentrate with what Paul is saying. The way you may handle these things in the flesh are not, I'm going to put it on the board, they are not failures in the strict sense of the word. They are weaknesses. You're learning something about humanity. You're learning something about yourself. So they are not weaknesses. To use our weaknesses, see, now we come to the point we're ready to look at it. I cannot prevent it from happening. This is the way, and you call it failure, and it isn't failure. It isn't failure at all. Don't come down on yourself. That's arrogance. Don't do that. Understand what is occurring. And now you're ready to go to the real issue, people. The real issue is not your weakness. Now you're ready to use your weakness to see, I'm going to put it on the board, use your weakness to see the grace of God. Now there's the issue. There's the great issue. Don't contemplate on your weakness. Don't contemplate on how horrible you are and how you failed this thing. This is the whole point of Paul says. We are weak. And this is why I'm going to boast in it. God, I'm glad I'm not strong. Because if I'm strong, I don't need to see the grace of God. If I'm strong, if I handle what Satan is doing to me, then I'll never see the grace of God. And that's what's going to cause Paul to say, I boast in it. I boast in my weakness. I boast in the fact I can't stop Satan from doing it. I boast in the fact I can't stop the world. I can't prevent other people from doing what they're going to do. And next, I can't handle it. A lot of believers are afraid to say that. People, until you reach a point in life where you're not afraid to say, I cannot handle this, you're not going to see the grace of God. And it is my prayer for you, if you're serious about the Christ-centered life, that God brings you to some point in your life where you have to admit, I cannot handle this. I've been able to handle everything in my life. I cannot handle this. Because you're now right where God wants you to be. See, we have to learn something about God. God isn't. Listen, what kind of a God do you have? Here's our God, God the Father, looking down at you, looking down at you in your weakness, and again, weakness in both areas that we're looking at. What kind of God do you have? Ah, look at there. Look at that little weak worm. Can't even handle this. Falling apart. I can't believe. Look at this. Look at that believer down there. And just falling apart. A weak little nothing. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. See? I'm just going to walk away from all of this. I sure don't want that one on my team. I don't want some old weak thing like that falls apart when something happens. That isn't what kind of God we have, people. The God that Paul is talking about is the kind of God that now looks down and says, now you'll see what I can do. Now you're getting ready to learn about my grace. You know it. You've got some doctrines on it, but you never really see it. But now you're going to see it. Maybe for the first time in your life, you're really going to see my grace now. You're going to see my power. You're going to see my love. You haven't seen it before because you haven't needed it. You've been able to tough your way through, or somebody else has gotten you through it. But now you are going to see something fantastic. I don't know what kind of God you have, but people, start learning how God behaves. How does God behave when you are so weak? You don't know what to do. When you are so weak, you're angry, hurt, frustrated, in fear of the future. What kind of God do you have when you're at that point? A God that's going to come down and see you out or walk away because you're so weak? Is that the kind of God you have? See, what Paul is here dealing with in a personal letter, revealing to us, that isn't the way God works. This is exactly where God wants us. See, this is exactly what God wants, where God wants us to be. Principle. At this point, if you allow Him, and this is a great if you allow Him, He takes your weakness to reveal His strength. In your weakness, He reveals His grace. Next principle. Therefore, we should boast. We should boast that we cannot control things in life. That we cannot handle them in the flesh. That we're just too weak. Because people, when you reach that point in your life, when you reach the point in your life where you can realize your weakness, when you can realize I cannot control things in life. We live in a very strong-oriented type of America. And as long as you are very strong-oriented, people, you're not going to be able to see the grace of God in your life. It's there all the time, but you're not going to see it. But when you become keenly aware, and I do mean keenly, I don't mean a little cut on the tip of the finger where we put a Band-Aid on. I mean when you realize you're weak. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's not a thing you can do about the job. There's not a thing you can do about the disease. There's not a thing you can do about the divorce. There's not a thing you can do about the injury. I had a wonderful conversation with Charlotte Kurtz. I meant Sunday I overlooked. I meant for you to be able to meet her. She was here Sunday in our church. But we had a wonderful conversation. There's a woman married to a man that's going to be an invalid, lying on his bed, needing all types of care for every bodily function. And so far as she knows, for the rest of her life. People, you have to be able to realize when these things start occurring in your life that God doesn't want some strong person standing there. He can't help a strong person. You will never put on the armor of God if you don't need it. You will never put on the armor of God, people, if you're strong. You know who puts on the armor of God? A weak person. A person that says, I'm weak and I need that armor. But an arrogant, strong believer doesn't need it. I can get along without it. I do not need divine provision. And be careful when you say that, because God may just bring you into a realization of just how powerful He really is. So let's get it down again in our study. If you allow God, He takes your weakness to reveal to you His strength. In your weakness, you will be able to see His grace. Therefore, we boast that we cannot control things in life. Don't ever be discouraged. I wish I could control. If I could only control, and this is what a lot of people try to do. A lot of people, believers, try to create an environment that they are totally in control. Watch them when they lose it. They go berserk. They like to set up an environment that they can control. A lot of husbands like to have a marriage where they're totally in control. People like to be in total control. Get the sense of power, strength. Therefore, you don't need God. Therefore, you don't need the grace of God. Therefore, you don't need to go to prayer. You do not need to go to prayer as we have in Peter and we have in other passages. God, in regard to my spouse, in regard to this, and in regard to that, you're going to have to function. You are going to have to do something because I can't do anything about it. No, you're not going to say that because you don't have to. You rule the roost. You don't need God. You're in total control until you lose it. And then you begin to realize your weakness. And a lot of people, even at that point, become very arrogant. very arrogant. And God really has to start talking to get their point, get their attention in regard to just how weak they really are. Now, where did you first learn this? You learned it at a principle that I tried to make very emphatic in this church. You learned it at the cross. You learned it at salvation. Let's take a look at salvation. People, if you do not realize the state, one, of your condemnation, before the justice of God, that your soul is immortal and it will live forever, and that you are under divine judgment from God, and then secondly, that there is nothing that you can do. There is absolutely nothing that you can do for your salvation. Until you and I have reached that point, not a one of us would be saved. This is why it's so difficult in the book of Galatians for a lot of the Judaizers. Why? They want to hold on to things in the Mosaic Law. Hold on to such things as circumcision. I've got my circumcision. And because I've cut off a little of my faith, guess what? I'm in. I don't need the grace of God at the cross. See, as long people, at the cross we learn the principle, until we realize the state of condemnation, how we are condemned and headed for eternal judgment in a literal liquid lake of fire. And you can deny it, as you well know, those of you who have accepted Christ as Savior, many people, they handle this by, oh, it doesn't exist. Well, that's fine. What does the Bible say? The Bible declares it does exist. So we realize the state of the condemnation. Then we realize our what? We realize our, let's put the word total. We realize our total weakness at this point. There is nothing that I can do to be saved. Now what are you ready for? Now that you're able to see, look, if I could be perfectly moral, which I know I can't, which I know I don't even want to be. If we're really honest, not only can I not be perfectly moral, I don't think I want to be perfectly moral. So that compounds that problem. I know no ritual is going to do it. I know that there's no work that I can perform. I know who and what I am. I'm totally weak as far as salvation is concerned. Now what are we ready for? You're ready for someone to come along and present to you the grace of God. Now I'll show you my grace. Now I'll show you my strength. Now I will show you my provision. I will show you my Son dying on a cross, bearing the judgment of your sins. I'll show you my love. This is my love. I demonstrate my love to you. People, God did not look down when you were at the weakest point you will ever be, an unbeliever, and laugh. He did not look down at you, did not look down at me, did not look down at us, and say, well, you weak little, you can't even do anything. I'm not going to have anything to do with y'all. Y'all are so weak. Y'all are so pitiful. Just little worms down there. I want to save some strong people. What kind of army do you think I want? What kind of a body do you think I want for my son? Bunch of wimps? I'm going to go find me some strong people to save. I'm going to go find me some people that know how to stand up. Know how to suck it up and gut it. Pardon the slang. That's the kind of people. I'm going to go find me that kind. And what he said, I'm going to find me those who are so weak, they realize they can't do anything and will depend totally on me and on my provision. Now we see his grace. You don't see his grace while you're trying to be saved. No one ever has or ever will. You will not see it. You will not see God's grace if you try to be saved by something you do. You just won't see it. You will not see his love As long as we are working and trying and using our strength, we will not see it. When do we seek God's love? We seek God's love when we're weak and we hurt and we cry out, I'm going to burn forever. God, I don't want to burn forever. Now I'll show you my grace. Look again at the verse. Verse 9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. See, people, if you and I take the same principle, we would say, you know what? I boast of my weakness as an unbeliever, when I was an unbeliever. I boast of my weakness. I boast of the fact I couldn't do anything to be saved. Now let's come over to the Christ-centered life. You have accepted Christ as Savior. The only way that you and I can receive His grace by faith. Faith is passive. Faith receives. So we receive His power. We receive Jesus Christ in us. Doctrine of positional truth. Doctrine of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We receive it by believing in Jesus Christ. That's how you and I take care of our weakness. Now what has happened to our weakness at salvation? What's happened to our weakness? It has been replaced by the strength and the power of God. Now people learn from the personal experience of this man. The same thing is true in your life right now. The only way you're going to come across of the grace of God is when you are aware of your weakness. And I want to point out in a personal realm, this is going to be the rest of Paul's life. This isn't going away. He is going to be hit and hit periodically for the rest of his life. He's going to be bucked, punched, hurt, pain for the rest of his life. So that he is constantly aware of his weakness. One thing that happens in a wonderful society like a North Dallas environment, we're not constantly aware of weakness. We're not constantly aware of the hunger and the need for it. Open your papers and just look at what's going on in the world. They are aware of it. In a lot of places in the world, they're aware of it. But you and I are not aware of it. You and I have lived in a nice little environment. We're not drawn to this until God just decides, I think I'm going to give him a little prick on the side like a thorn in the flesh for a moment. I'm going to take away something. I'm going to do something. And now you and I fall flat. We realize we can't stop it, and we hurt about it, and we fear about it. And all these things that occur, people do not be ashamed of that. That's what I want you to understand from this. Do not be ashamed of your weakness. Do not try to compare yourself with a Goliath, with somebody that you think is powerful who wouldn't be, you know, he would never do this. He would never cry like this or be in fear or be bitter or do this or do that or talk to God this way. I ought to be better than this. How I hate myself. I hate myself that I couldn't stop it, and I hate myself for the way I'm handling it. Don't do that. This is one of the most wonderful things that's happened to your life. Because now you're ready to see His grace. Now you're ready to depend on His strength. Now you're ready to depend on His provision in a very personal way. This isn't theology. That was my whole point of the introduction, and I'll go over it in the 6 o'clock class. We're going to go through this book, and time again, very quickly, Sunday, we're going to see how the Apostle Paul teaches us more and more lessons, and people, they're personal. very important you understand that they involve a relationship. This is why I want to spend tonight with you on this. They involve a relationship between you, who and what you really are. People, not what other people think you are. Other people think you're strong, and that's what you want them to think. Other people think you're this and you're that at work, and we like that image. Boy, he's really strong. He's this and she's that. But in a very personal, wonderful relationship between you and God, it's reality. Pure and simple reality, and you realize I am weak. And sometimes God in this relationship will have to do that. Sometimes God has to do that with us. Sometimes we're moving along, drawing along, and we lose sight of this. Remember the study of the church of Ephesus in Revelation? They left their first love. Boy, they were just going along so fast, and I mean, they were hot for the Lord. They wouldn't tolerate false doctrine. They were giving, they were doing this, and they were doing that, and Christ said, I'm going to rip you right out. People, they weren't anything like corn. They didn't have an incestuous believer in the church. Why, they would have caught and feathered him. They didn't have false teachers. They didn't have that type of thing going on. They lost their love of the Lord. They didn't need the Lord anymore. Hey, we got this down now, Lord. You just step aside. Let us do it now. No, I'm going to bring you to the point of weakness. You got to realize personal relationship. And that's what this whole book of 2 Corinthians is about. It's about a relationship between you and God. You better know how he functions and how he behaves. And you need to know how he behaves when you're really hurt. You saw it at the cross. Sometimes you need to be reminded. Paul did. And what is so disturbing is that what believers do when that happens in their life. And how they're ashamed of the way they cry, and how they're ashamed of the way they handle it, how they're ashamed of the way of what they're thinking. Don't ever be ashamed. It's your weakness. Now you're ready. Now you're really ready. See, if you don't do that, well, I'm ashamed of the way I handle it. I'm ashamed of the way I talk. I've got to cut that out. I'm just going to go in here, and I'm going to pick myself up. I'm putting the chocolate cake back in the refrigerator. I'm putting the bottle of booze back in that counter. I'm going to go in and take me a nice shower. I'm putting on some good clothes, and I'm going to go out and walk on the street with my head held high. This is wrong for me to talk to God this way. I need to be handling it. You've lost it. You've lost it. It's when you and I realize, look at me. And look what I'm doing, and look at my thoughts, and look at the way I'm handling this. Boy, I am pitiful. Great. Now you're ready to see. Now you're ready. In your personal people, let me emphasize it, in your personal relationship between you and God. Not even Christ here, if you'll pardon me. You and God. It's just you and God, and now you understand that. And now you're able to say, I'm weak. Boy, I didn't even realize how weak I was. I did not realize it. But now I do. And you're just going to flat have to not just help. I'm so bad off here, you're going to have to do everything. And people, when he's got you at that point, it's right where God wants you. This is where he desires us to be in our relationship with him, in a personal relationship. So I wanted to go through the Romans passage, but this will have to suffice. We have to rejoice. We have to boast in regard to our weakness. And I wanted you to understand, not just in a theological way, I want you to understand in a personal way what Paul's dealing with here. Because this is personal in Paul's life. This is not theology. The man hurt. The man was in pain. And the man entreated. He cried out to God. 3 times. That's important for Paul. That wouldn't have bothered me. After maybe 100 times, I might have figured it out that God isn't going to answer it the way I want. But Paul did three times he figured it out. And then he realized, my grace is sufficient. My grace. Not you, not your strength, my grace. You want to see my grace in your life? See, this is how you're going to see my grace. You want to see my love? I'll show you my love. You saw it at the cross, but you forgot it. Now you realize how weak you are again, and you're ready to lean on it again. I'll show you my power. See? God the Holy Spirit. I'll show you my power. I'll show you me. Now you're ready to lean on me. You're ready to depend on me. I'm your strength, Paul. I am your power. And until you're ready to totally lean on me all the time, you're going to reach a point of arrogance where you think you're just going to be able to move along and do it by yourself, and you ought to be able to do it by yourself. And you're so wrong on both accounts. I ought to be able, one, to handle or to control certain things, and two, I surely ought to be able to handle everything. But then you're never going to see the grace of God. But when you and I realize I am weak, and you're going to see His grace, His love, His power. And it's going to be personal, people. You understand this? This is going to be personal. It's going to be between you and God. You don't need to come up here and give a glowing testimony. You don't need to give a glowing testimony and share with us. As David said, I'll use what David said, so that you don't have to try to top it. My bowels were hanging out on the floor. I hurt so much. I cried all night, but you turned your face from me. I hurt so much, my bones begin to melt. These are all David's expressions. That's how much I hurt. I cried out to you, bitterly, in anger. And then in the morning, when you're able to fully recognize your weakness, then you're going to have this relationship between you and God. And people, once you have this relationship with God the Father here, you're on your way of leaning totally on His strength, His provision. You won't take His provision and become arrogant. You'll take His provision and lean on it in the principle of grace. Depend on it. Here's your strength. Here's how you're going to handle all those illustrations that I gave you. Now watch your prayer. Now watch your prayer. See, at the beginning of all of these things, when you became aware of your weakness and it brought you couldn't control things, you couldn't handle it, it brought to you anger, bitterness, resentment, it brought to you self-pity, it brought to you hate, it brought to you discouragement, fear, it brought to you all of these things. But now when you take a look at this weakness, instead of all of that, watch your prayer now. Father, I boast in it. I boast in my weakness. I'm very glad that I'm weak, because now I'm going to see you. I'm going to see how you behave in regard to me when I'm weak. People, He doesn't need us if we're strong, and we don't need Him. We don't need Him if we're strong. If you're a strong person, you don't need Him. It's when you're ready to recognize how weak you are that you're going to see His grace and have a personal, dynamic relationship with God the Father. Let's close in a word of prayer. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for a moment, please. I want to dedicate these moments to anyone who may have come in here this evening who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. If you never saw this clear issue, whatever the reason, you've never expressed to God the Father personal faith in His Son. We know that the soul will live forever. It's too smart for that stuff, but once we die, it's all over. The recesses of your soul, at various times in the night, you know. You know there's a God, a righteous, just one. And if you're honest, you also know there's nothing you can do to earn anything from him. Now you're ready for his love. Now you're ready for his grace. Because all you have to do to be saved is to believe on Jesus Christ. Most of you here this evening have accepted Christ as Savior. Among the many things that are involved in the Christ-centered life is for your personal relationship with God. You and your weakness, God and his grace. What a wonderful marriage. What a wonderful relationship. A relationship where you totally depend on him. And that's what he wants you to do. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your marvelous grace that allows circumstances to occur in the lives of believers that give us the opportunity to come face to face with our weaknesses. There's always the chance of hardening the arrogance, but there's always, Heavenly Father, the possibility of humility, realizing weakness. You bring these things into our lives, Heavenly Father, for the most unbelievable reason. Not so that you can laugh at us, scorn us, chew us out, but that you can show us your grace, your love, and your power. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we boast in our weakness, because then we see the greatness of your love and of your grace and of your power and your provision. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the God that you are, in your Son's precious name. Amen.